Well, the rain is coming down in Virginia, pouring down on top of the roof of Mobile Podcast Command very late at night, and it is a great sound. So we're going to do a podcast real quick. So if you listen to the podcast, you know that I've had a family emergency, had to come back to Virginia from Arizona very quickly, something like 2,100 miles in 3 days, give or take. And I am stopped down in Virginia dealing with family issues and affairs for the near future. So in podcast 978, using downtime to plan the Bob Davis podcasts. So yeah, we have rain. And I love the sound of rain on top of this vehicle, which is why I'm doing a podcast right now. It's very soothing. It's great. So if you listen to podcast 977, you'll hear details on my mom's death. Now, as I said in that podcast, most of my listeners and subscribers don't post stuff related to this kind of personal experience or content of the podcast on social media. Most of the time what happens is people comment on social media and you end up having to take comments down that are related to the title. That's what they respond to. So I will again put up sort of a stealth title because I really don't want comments about my mom's death on social media. She detested social media. I also detest social media to a certain extent. For those of us who are content creators, it's a necessary evil for the time being. But I don't want my personal stuff on Facebook, and I certainly don't want the misery whoring on Facebook about people dying. I just absolutely detest that. So if you hear this and you want to DM me, that's fine, but I don't want personal messages about my mom on social media because she wouldn't stand for it and I don't like it. So I will just take them down, and that's just the disclaimer. So we'll talk about being stopped down and how we're using that time to plan for the future in this podcast, podcast 978, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, this is going to give me a great opportunity to talk about Virtus Law because I'm going to talk a little bit about bereavement and succession planning. Virtus Law is a business law firm. They do lots and lots of things related to business management, service agreements, partnerships, asset protection, debt issues, income tax planning, and especially these days, these government loans and things of that nature. But I want to talk about succession because obviously if I've had a death in the family, it's something that is front and center in terms of my experience. And my mom, of course, did not own a business. I can't imagine what it would be like if she did. We kept things very simple. And so our succession situation and the will and so forth is under control. But if you have a small family business, especially if the person who passed away is someone who ran the business for 20, 30, 40 years, you might have a quite lucrative business. And then, of course, you have employees and everybody involved with the business. And the question is whether or not you have an attorney who can help you get through that. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I don't want to go on too long, but obviously I'm talking about Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. He often tells stories about these succession battles that people have, and again, this has nothing to do with business, but one of my friend's parents died recently. They had some issues, and he said to me, if you have a brain in your head when it comes to your passing, make sure that you just get an attorney, give them power of attorney, and let the attorney decide how the will is to be administered because they don't have a personal involvement. So here's what Nathan does for business. He does strategic planning, and succession planning is critical if you intend to keep doing business and keep the business healthy. And you may have heard, as long as your family's in business, if you're good to the business will be good to you. This is the key. If you're the owner of a growing business, if your parents are the owner of a growing business and you're helping them, you're part of the management structure, what you want to do is look for someone who can do long-term planning and not short-term transaction. And that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, does. I know Nathan. He's strategic. He is a great person, and he is ready and standing by to help people out. Full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. You can also visit them online at virtuslaw.com or click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's V-I-R-T-U-S, Virtus Long. Very quickly, if you want to help animals, listen up, because I'm going to tell you about inspireandflourish.org. This is an organization that helps people who rescue dogs and cats in ways that you can't imagine. They need all kinds of things, and inspireandflourish.org is there for those agencies. So here's what you do. Send your tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, and stand by for some info coming up in the next few podcasts about the dog fashion show, which is coming up as well. And that also benefits inspireandflourish.org. Or you can click on the inspireandflourish.org banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, I call it being stopped down, because you're stopped and it's like you're down, you landed. You know, you're not high flying. And I want to talk about the consciousness of travel a little bit in this podcast at the beginning, because I don't think people really fully understand. I still see, and I know other nomad people have this issue, where you try to explain to people what you're doing, and they just don't get it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that feeling, because I still, very hard for me to stop. I really want to roll. From last September, when I first heard this call to hit the road, which is what it was, there was a flurry of activity, basically preparing to move, getting rid of everything, clearing everything out, cleaning everything up. It was just a period of highs and lows to get that thing done. And I've detailed that in the podcast. I don't need to go do that now. And I just want to say that I'm very glad now that I did that, because now I'm available for my sister and for myself to both protect my mom's property, which is what I'm doing right now, and also being available for friends and family without having to worry about going back home or paying the rent at home or dealing with things back home. The great thing about making this decision is all my banking is electronic. All of my transactions are electronic. My mail is forwarded from my virtual address. So I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to do this or that. And I don't have to go back home for any reason, because I'm here, which is makes this whole thing very, very easy. As I mentioned earlier, you know, a death in the family, especially if it's a person who's been around for a while, and my mom was around for almost a century, and she was pretty good at clearing things out and getting things organized. But there's still a ton of things that have to be dealt with. And so you really, you can't come every other weekend. It ends up being a huge expense. So I'm here until we take care of everything. So you have, you know, these issues. And I will say also that I'm also glad that I did this, because when you get into end-of-life issues, there isn't a lot of stuff for my son to deal with if something happens to me. And we were joking about this, and I said, you know, the thing about it is, we've got all this stuff we have to do for my mom, and we do it happily. We had the service, and that was great, and we had to put the service together and everything. And during this whole process, which is, you know, it's difficult because you're going through ups and downs, and, you know, people get emotional, and I was emotional, you know, and so forth. The reality is that when a person dies, there's all this stuff that they leave behind, inevitably. And we knew that, and we don't begrudge that. But I told him, the thing with me is, there's nothing of value to anyone else. Take a couple of boxes, or they're actually plastic containers of my personal papers and things in the vehicle, and just, you know, do what you're going to do with it. The rest of it, take me out, burn me, and then have a big steak dinner, and push the truck, push the ambulance off a bridge, and don't worry about it, because there's nothing really that has to be taken care of. So there's a ton of relief that comes from not having all that stuff. And I can't recommend it highly enough, really. One of the things I'm doing, and I think this is because your phone listens to you and pushes things toward you that you that you're, you know, kind of discussing. And one of the things that YouTube has been doing recently is pushing near-death experience videos to my feed. And so I've been watching them. And of course, you get more when you watch them. And there's one channel, which I don't remember the name of it, but it's German. And so they have these very soothing interpreters. And German interpreted to English has a very kind of organized syntax. It's very interesting. And it's great to hear these stories from people's near-death experiences. And one of the stories was from a woman, something had happened, she'd fallen off something or been in an accident or something, and she died. And so she had this near-death experience that she found very interesting. She said after it happened, and the near-death experience is usually people are introduced to this concept that there is a much larger world beyond our consciousness than we're aware of, and they usually have a changed perception, a slightly more spiritual perhaps, but at the very least some kind of a changed perception about the world and the things that we take seriously that really perhaps we shouldn't, and the things we don't take seriously that perhaps we should, right? And after her NDE, she said that she found it very difficult to watch or read the news. In fact, you know, it's been some years since her NDE, 30, 40, 50 years, and she really hasn't bothered with it since. And it came across to me very clearly that this was a question of consciousness. And obviously, I'm a yoga practitioner, you know, pretty constant yoga practitioner, although that's all completely haywire right now. So I'm officially taking a break from yoga because, you know, I'll get back in, but I don't want to get into that right now. I think there's some level of increased consciousness that comes from doing yoga and then really from travel. So I've traveled a lot in the last 6-7 years, but now that I'm doing this permanently, there is definitely a spiritual component to being out here. This nomad commitment is a commitment to searching and learning. It's you know, my friend Neil calls it road school. And so being stopped down highlights the differences in the static consciousness. This is the consciousness of having a home and a job and living in one place. And thank God people do it, because there would be no places if they didn't. So it isn't a judgment. But there's a static consciousness, and then there is a nomad consciousness. And the truth is that when you travel, there is a rhythm. I have never been bored traveling. You know, it's very easy for me to get bored at home when I'm in a static stop-down situation. I did not and have not experienced restlessness when I travel the way I experience restlessness when I'm static. And in the travel experience, your days are full of what needs to be done. And this is true whether you're camping or traveling or visiting friends, getting something fixed on the truck, going to see something, getting firewood or groceries, planning the next adventure, coordinating a meetup. And so your day, even if you feel like you're not doing anything, you're constantly doing something. Even if you're just driving, you are fully engaged because you have to. And so the truth of the matter is that even if I'm in a Walmart parking lot or a truck stop, I have never slept like I sleep on the road. I mean, I go out and I get up early and I sleep very deeply. Now, this is different when I stop. Then I go into this all-night kind of thing where I can't sleep, and then I can't wake up, and I end up slipping into this nocturnal lifestyle, which I don't think is very healthy. So it's very interesting. When you get on the road, you're fully engaged mentally and spiritually and physically half the time, because you're constantly twisting and turning and jumping and climbing and getting up there and getting this and so forth and so on, so that when you actually go to sleep, you sleep. In addition, as I kind of indicated earlier, I've come to believe that there is a higher consciousness which comes as a result of travel. There's just something about it. Everything changes around you. There are new adventures and new people. And the travel people that I've been communicating with, and to a certain extent, this is new for me because I never spent very much time in RV or camping where you would come in contact with other people doing the same thing. Now that I've been traveling, I have, and I will tell you, they also have the same sort of wanderlust and the same sort of level of consciousness where what we talk about is not the news. If we do, it's just in passing. We talk about rigs, we talk about places, we talk about how to's, where to's, and how to get theirs. So what you do when you're stopped is you start to drive yourself crazy. And so I've had to shift a little bit. And in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk a little bit about when you're stopped, what do you do? You know, that's really an important question, because all of us, if you're on the road, sooner or later, you got to deal with something. Sooner or later, you got to get a job for a couple of months, or you've got an issue you have to deal with. I met a guy that had one of those Mercedes vans. I forget what they call them. I can never remember what they call those Ram and Mercedes based vans that all the van life people are in. Isn't that bizarre? I can never remember it. I always want to call it a Versa van. Where did that come from? Those people, he had one of those, and it broke down, and they were he and his wife were in a Volkswagen bus for years, and then he bought this Mercedes based RV, and it failed, and it was a huge thing, and it had to get fixed. So she bought one, and now they have two, because he got his back, and they kind of travel together for a while, and then she goes one way and he goes the other, and then they meet up again. And I talked to her about it, and she goes, well, this is great, because it really helps our peace of mind, because I don't have to deal with him all the time, and he doesn't have to deal with me all the time. This is the kind of stuff you talk about, and it's so wonderful, because you're not talking about this fake world that is created by media. And it's not the media's fault. It's our fault for not raising our consciousness, that we tend to fall into the habit of feeling as though we have to be aware of what's going on. So there is definitely a bias for activity when you finally stop, because you're constantly doing stuff when you're on the road. There's things that you just have to do. You got to check your tires all the time. You have to get things fixed. You have to buy groceries. You have, all these things that you're doing on the road on any particular day that takes you off. And as I said, if you're driving, you're fully engaged. So we'll talk about what you do when you have to stop down for any length of time in the second half of this podcast. So I'm going to ask a question. As long as I'm lounging here in Mobile Podcast Command, my head is just inches from the printer that I bring with me, and I just have to ask the simple question that Cartridge World asks: why pay more to print? Because Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores on those laser cartridges, which drive us all crazy because they're so expensive. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Qualifying businesses can get a free printer. Cartridge World is in Maple Grove, serving the universe from there, so it really doesn't matter where you are. Call them 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Want to say hi to my friends at 36 Lynn, the independent refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue, south in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis, right off 94. If you take Lindale Avenue, go down to 36, you're going to see it. There's usually always a food truck there at lunch. They have events. They have great products in the store, so locally sourced, great products, great coffee, and of course, because they're an independent refueling station, they get a better deal on fuel. They can pass that savings on to customers, and I'm telling you, the price of fuel these days is very, very important. So click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that takes you to 36lynn.com, which is their website. Check out their Instagram feed, same name, 36lynn, or Facebook. And if you need to find that stuff, just click on the banner. It takes you to their website, and you're good to go. Using the time to plan and to fix and prepare. That's what I've decided I'm going to do, is to use this time to plan and prepare for the next chapter in this nomad life that I'm living in. And I'm still, I'm still in the truck. So I'm at my mom's house in the driveway, still in the truck. If I go see my sister, who lives about 60 miles from here, out on the farm in Virginia, I will sit and sleep in the van. This is what I always do. I work in the van. I do all the stuff I have to do in the van. And if you want to find me, I'm in the van. So, or whatever you want to call it. It's an ambulance, right? It's an old ambulance, but I call it a van or a truck, those kinds of things. So let me share real quick some of the things that I'm thinking about as I think about planning and preparing first on the list is, so this truck, Mobile Podcast Command, is a Ford Super Duty 450, you know, diesel, and it is 21 years old. It has 180,000 miles on it. Just to give you guys that are interested in a sort of an idea of what's been done, new exhaust, two new alternators over the last few years, new brakes on the back, partially rebuilt front end, new batteries now, fully new batteries, all the storage batteries, everything brand new. And there's been some other things I can't think of right now, but basically we're in the process of rebuilding this vehicle. And, you know, to be quite honest about you, over the years, all the things that have had to be done. Even so, it has 180,000 miles on it. Oh yeah, brand new fuel system because I put gasoline in it. So not only did I we replaced fuel filters twice and so forth, all new, you know, all the new air filters and everything are in, and the gasoline also cleaned it out, so it gets great gas mileage now. Just, I mean, diesel mileage, it's fantastic. So much of the vehicle is refitted to a certain degree, although I'm not a mechanic, so I know mechanics are listening. They're like, well, you'd be surprised what you got to do at this point. But I'm trying to figure out whether I should basically sell this and cobble together a new rig, or refit again and forge onward in Mobile Podcast Command. And right now I am leaning toward refitting and forging onward. And I'm going to tell you why. And this is kind of an interesting thing for anybody who loves old vehicles. And I've been watching a lot of Jay Leno's Garage on YouTube, and a lot of videos about restoring vehicles. So I'm kind of up on it. I hate to use YouTube an example. One of the guys at the RV store in Quartzsite just went nuts on me about people watching how-to YouTube videos and not having a clue what they're doing. So I confess that that's me, right? But here's some conclusions that I've made, and you know, I'm certainly willing to entertain opinions about this, because I think this is, RVs are ridiculously expensive right now. I mean, just over the top. It's ridiculous. First of all, I'm not going to pay as much as it would cost to buy the house that we're going to sell here to buy an RV. I'm just not going to do that, because they're completely marked up way too high. And you see this everywhere. And not just new ones, but older ones. And part of it is this. I thought when I left home in this vehicle, I thought this is going to be really difficult. Because, in fact, I called it, extreme. I called it Gonzo Nomad, because it's not an RV. I don't have a kitchen. I don't have a bathroom. I don't have a shower. Everything that you do, you have to shower at the truck stop or the campsite, you know, at the state park or something where you go. And you have to plan for that. So if you go to a Bureau of Land Management campsite and you camp there for 3 days, you're not going to be able to take a shower. And I don't carry water tanks for showers, although I did figure out how to do that, but we'll leave that. You know, you'll have to listen to that in one of the podcasts. Anybody who's done this for all knows what to do if you really need a shower. But you there's no shower. All cooking has to be done either on camp stoves or over a campfire, which I've gotten pretty good at cooking over a campfire, and it's fantastic. So there's no real comforts of home in here. And this thing is as much a character in these podcasts now as I am. But I have to say that one of the things I learned that really surprised me, I said to somebody, they said, well, what have you learned, or what's the big takeaway? And I said, well, the things that you think were important that you needed, you don't need. And the things that you didn't think were important, you find out that you do need. I don't seem to really need all the things that I thought I would in terms of, literally, quote unquote, a house on wheels. Or you see these restorations where people build these extensive bathrooms and kitchens and things of that nature. The only thing that I really have found that I need, there's a few things that I found that I need. I actually need an actual bathroom. The shower does not have to be in the truck, but there has to be an option for a hot shower, whether you put a shower curtain up around the back or something to that effect. Also, have learned that I have to have a place to cook inside the vehicle, that requires a splash panel and a very powerful exhaust fan. Now, I've got a powerful exhaust fan, but it's not set up for cooking because I don't want grease all over the inside of here. It's got to be kept clean. And that's the other thing. You're constantly cleaning when you're on the road. You have to, because it'll turn in, you know, I've become very fastidious about vacuuming and cleaning and stopping at car washes and things like that. I also have discovered that I need some kind of indoor screen, and it can't be one of these things that you tape up in. I've got to figure out where I can get screens that go on the thing so I can open the door and have a screen so I can keep the doors open, because your doors are always open, and then if you're in the warm climate or summertime, you get flies, and then flies are in the garbage. It's horrible, and I hate that. So you're constantly killing flies or putting up tape or some ridiculous thing to keep the flies out. I need some pull-out tables. I find that I have to use a music stand to hold books, all that kind of stuff. I need some pull-out tables where you know, they're bolted to the side of the wall or something, and you can pull them out and move them around so you can work, things of that nature. I think I'm going to need some LED lights inside along the sides of the vehicle with some options, and then I can get rid of all these lights that I have in here that are basically inside lights. These are useless. These lights you clip on and plug in and all that. I want to get some LED lighting. And it would be really nice to have some additional web storage along the walls so that I can put things that are soft items, get them out of the cabinets and put them into some web storage. But you got to get really strong tensile strength web. You can't just put some net up there. That doesn't work either. The other thing is finally a new floor with a layer of insulation so that I can keep it warmer in here. And a couple other little things, but nothing really beyond that. If you don't touch something every day, you don't need it. So if you're moving around and you're touching things roughly every day, well, then those are the things you need to keep. The rest of it, you don't need to keep. So my electric heater, my fan, my a couple other things in there, my portable radios, I might keep those because I have been touching those. So I know that I might need those. And then there's a couple things I want to add. So I've been doing some research on diesel heaters. Now, there's diesel heaters you can hook up to your diesel. So then you've always got diesel. But I think what I want to do is get rid of my propane heater and get a portable diesel heater, which they make for vans. They don't have any emissions, and they're more efficient. And I've got, you know, a container to hold diesel, so I can keep those filled up. I would like to get solar, so that I can trickle charge the batteries. And I think the big issue is going to be how much solar I get. But we have a flat top on this truck, and there's no reason not to just put solar on top of it. So I'm going to have to work on that. And then finally, I'm just going to give you a list of things that I think that the truck itself needs that I'm going to be working on. First of all, we're going to have to assess whether the truck is just too old. And that means I need to have somebody that knows what they're doing look at it and just say, so the last guys I had look at it were the guys at Complete Auto and Blaine, and they say, you know, you don't have a lot of rust. It's obviously a northern origin vehicle, Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's got rust, but it's not real bad, although there's some points and things that should be addressed. I need a new crankcase. In order to do that with this vehicle, you have to pull the engine out of the truck. So if it's too old, if it's too rusty, if it's too sick along those lines, then you know, it's going to have to be put out of its misery, basically. And at that point, I'll have to put Plan B into effect, which, if I put it into effect, will be an adventure in itself, and I'll explain that later. But there won't be any coming off the road as the result of the situation with this truck, whatever. By the way, it runs great, so it's not like this has to be done today. But barring a death sentence for Mobile Podcast Command, I'd be looking at a motor overhaul. I would be looking at a transmission overhaul. I would be looking at perhaps a new differential. And while I am there, certainly while I'm here, I can do this. Certainly while I'm here, I can do this. I want to update the front end. brakes, checking the tie rods, things like that, and new steering tires, which you have to get every now and then. And I would advise anybody with a truck this old, don't spend a lot of money on the steering tires because they get torn to pieces. And then I want to replace the rear brake ABS sensor because those things are ridiculous. You're constantly getting the ABS light. It's driving me crazy, and I don't know what else it does, so I'm afraid that it causes other kinds of issues. I want to look at a new bumper with hard points for locking down some of the things outside for travel. So I'm talking about the back bumper, and that's where the rust issue is going to come into a play, because the back bumper leads are very, it's a frame leads, and I don't know what you call them, but that's what I call them, and they are very rusty. So I want to look at a new bumper to go on the back, and then I want a light bar on the front. I need a cellular booster installed and a Deer Slayer bumper on the front because I don't want to end up hitting a bumper after all that work, hitting a deer after all that work and having to basically total this thing. Now, why? Why would you want to save this vehicle, Bob Davis? Well, part of the reason is this. I've had several old RV hands come up to me and tell me that the 7.3 Power Stroke diesel, or whatever it's called, in these Ford F450s and E450s of this era was the best motor Ford ever put in a truck. And there's some debate on that, but I think that they are. I've heard that from many, many, many people, that you could sell the drivetrain. It's actually probably worth more than the truck. Comparable trucks today, apparently, and I'm not going to say this, but I've heard many old hands say this, just simply, especially in RVs, simply do not have the same torque and power these International 7.3s have. And yes, they are international motors. And all these guys have told me never to get, they'll say, don't ever get rid of that truck. And I want to try to honor that if I can, because I believe them when they say this. There's a couple things about new RVs, and I've talked about this a couple times, and one is, and I see these all over the country, trucks, vans that are, in my view, hopelessly underpowered for the size box they put on them. I happen to see something on Instagram. I saw a guy with a Ford 550 crew cab, flatbed, and then they put a North Star camper on it. That's the only camper that I've ever seen put on a Ford pickup or crew cab flatbed truck that looks like it's not wallowing. I see these guys with these big North Star or other brand. North Star is I think it's called a North Star is the only one that I can think of. It's made in Canada. They're very robust, triple hold fiberglass backpack campers that go on pickups. And you can just see they're completely overweight. And I don't know what kind of mileage they're getting, but it can't be great. And it just doesn't look good. But what I've seen is these very large RVs based on small platforms just wallowing in and really struggling to get up hills. Especially when we were in New Mexico and Arizona, and I'm not even talking, also Tennessee and places like that where you have these switchbacks that might happen like through the Smoky Mountains for a few hundred miles or whatever, even on freeways. And I don't go on freeways. Like, I would hate to see one of these massive RVs that's underpowered on Route 33 through West Virginia. So it would obviate me being able to use those routes because those vehicles are just so much underpowered. The other thing, these RVs just have so much crap in them that I've decided that I don't think I need. Four burner stoves. I use one burner most of the time, and to the point where I've got this camp stove and I never use it. Ovens. I've never had the need for an oven, on the road. Microwaves, media centers, curtains, come on. Very expensive window coverings, luxuriously apportioned furnishings. And I think to myself, what's that going to look like in 3 years or 4 years? Huge potable water and gray water tanks, massive generators, air conditioning units, DirecTV antennas, even on the small vehicles, and they're $190,000 or $150,000 brand new. part of that is what drives the price up. And more, they seem designed really to take to go fishing or to go to a state park, which looks like suburbia anyway, and not for continuous on-the-road living. The people that I saw in Quartzsite that seemed to be the most satisfied were the people with the off-road, over-the-road, van conversions, or even the traveler kids with the really old school buses that they just ripped the seats out of and put sleeping bags down in. They seem to be handling everything quite well without the $500,000 Prevost coach and all the something that's more expensive than a house. What I have learned through all of this is, and that includes the travel and also the most recent experience with my mom's death, that you cannot underestimate the value of simplicity. You know, simplicity, and it's so hard for us to achieve this sort of Zen simplicity. You just don't need all this stuff. I'm still just blown away. And my mom was, as I said, organized by the number of things that we are just, you know, we've got a dining room table just laden with figurines and little boxes and all these things. And she was not even by any means the worst. I threw out an entire dumpster of crap. So achieving simplicity, once you achieve the simplicity by getting rid of everything you want to go on the road, why would you want a vehicle with all the storage and things that's just going to add to all of this crap that you're hauling around with you that you just forgot was in there? You know, periodically I have to go through this thing and throw stuff away, even though I threw everything away, right? And so, and why? Because there's things that I just don't use, and I think, why am I hauling these around? This is just weight. So as simple as you can get, the better. And there's a certain, level of peace of mind or Zen or spiritual peace that is achieved through the simplicity. And so that's still the target, even though, I'm traveling. So I'm going to use this time to plan and to push for further simplicity, to try to get things down to a really simplicity level. But I don't want some complex RV, because one of the things I love about this vehicle is it can go just about anywhere, and it is reasonably economic to do that with plenty of torque and power, given the fact that it's a 450 diesel that I see a lot of other vehicles struggling. Now, some of those big, bus frame based RVs or the Fleetwoods, that have big diesels with lots of torque in them, they haul ass. And if I wanted a big vehicle, I would get one of those. I saw one for 50 grand when I was in Quartzsite. It's probably a mess. But the problem with those then is all of the, you have to keep all the systems running. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, do you really want to spend money? Do you really want to have a refrigerator repair that costs you $800? Do you really want to, I'd rather put that into the truck, the actual truck. Do you really want to have, water tanks that need to be cleaned and it costs this much money, or all these things that these RVs require? You go to these RV places, they're full of these vehicles getting serviced. And I got news for you, it's not cheap. So that's why so many people that do the Nomad thing just have vans, because they're simple. All right, I'm going to go to sleep. So thanks for listening to this podcast. Just some thoughts about what I'm going to do while I'm stopped down here in Virginia. And of course, Depot Star gets the last word. If you got an invention that you came up with your brother-in-law during the holiday season, Depot Star is there with an inventor's heart to help you produce that item. Or if you're in the manufacturing business, if you make products or whatever, and you are in the decision-making chain, don't forget American Design and Manufacturing at Depot Star. Visit them online at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com. Just remember, simplicity is the goal. It's hard to achieve. Okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. Thanks for listening to podcast 978, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Bye-bye. Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rains are falling, Seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night.